Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we wish to continue our thoughts on the subject, the names and titles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some 120 times in the Scripture, He has been given names and titles. And of course, a title is a descriptive name. And these all reflect the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus far, we have concerned ourselves with His divine glories, as seen in His titles, His redemptive glories, His judicial glories, His governmental glories, and today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider His creation glories. We live in a beautiful world. Think of the sunset. Think of the sea. Think of the mountain valleys filled with flowers. Think of all the things that are around us. And the creation of our Lord Jesus Christ reflects His glories. And we see it in the titles and the names that have been given to Him. He is such a wonderful person, we would expect that His creation would reflect His glory. John tells us in chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the complete expression of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God," which we've already considered on the broadcast. But remember the next verse. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." He is not only the creator of inanimate life, He is the creator of animate life. He is the light that gives men the light of intelligence. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the creator. Now we see Him, we're going to explore His creation and His glories of His creation under the titles, the botanical titles, the zoological titles, and the astronomical titles. Let's get quickly into the botanical titles. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1, we read these words, "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys." Can you think of anything more beautiful than the rose and the lilies? But the rose is a majestical flower, while the lilies of the valleys are an humble flower. They grow sometimes completely unseen. Now, here we have the "I am" telling us, "I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys." That is one of the botanical titles of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have another one in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground." This is the one that we wish to consider, the root out of a dry ground. "He hath no form nor comeliness. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Now, actually, we have two titles here. He's the tender plant, and he's the root out of a dry ground. But I want to consider myself with this title, the root out of a dry ground. Our Lord Jesus Christ was that when He came into this world. He was the source of life, but oh, He drew none of His sustenance from this world. He did not borrow glory from this world. He did not own a single square foot of this earth that He created. He would borrow none of its glory. He was the author. He was the creator of this world. He was the root out of the dry ground, and certainly there was nothing that contributed to His glory from this earth, from His creation, except to enhance His glory and to make us realize His own personal glory. But He is the root out of the dry ground. And our Lord Jesus Christ here was the source of beauty and the source of sustenance and the source of freshness to all about Him. And then we read that He's the plant of renown in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 29. "I will raise up Ezekiel says, for them a plant of renown. And they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. In this 34th chapter of Ezekiel, we see Israel scattered among their enemies. Ezekiel himself was a prophet. He was in Babylon when he wrote this. He had been taken into captivity. Israel was scattered. But God gave Israel, or rather Ezekiel, some prophecies to hearten those people who were held captives in the land of Babylon. And so he says, I will raise up for them a plant of renown. This is a title of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land. Now the plant furnishes the food, but he is the plant, the single plant of renown. Feed a nation from a single plant? Yes. If that plant of renown is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about physical hunger specifically, although he did feed his people in the wilderness with a manna for 40 years. In a waste, howling wilderness, they had food to eat. And believe me, it had all the nourishment and all the vitamins in it. He is now the plant of renown that is going to satisfy the hunger of their souls. Oh, what a plant of renown. Ezekiel promises those people held captive, languishing under captivity in Babylon, a plant of renown that's going to satisfy your hunger. Their hunger was to go back to Palestine, back to the Holy Land, their own land. But this plant of renown is coming in a future day, and Israel will be satisfied at last with him. And then there are the zoological titles of our Lord Jesus Christ. John 1 and 29, we read there, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, capital L, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is a title. This is a title of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Now, the Lamb brings something before us. As we see the little Lamb, we see reflections of Christ in him, his submissiveness, his gentleness. Christ was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. You know, before sin can be put away, blood has to be shed. Without shedding of blood is no remission. The Israelites shed the blood of literal lambs. They had the choice of their own lamb. They could bring their lamb, and when they sinned, they brought their lamb and put their hand upon the head of the lamb as if to say, this little lamb is dying in my place. And then the lamb was slain. But in the New Testament, we read, behold, the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb of his choosing that will take away the sin of a guilty world. And he is the Lamb of God slain for you and for me. Now, God didn't give us the privilege of choosing him. God chose the Lamb of himself, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God's choosing, the Lamb of God's provision. Trusting, of course, that we be satisfied with his Lamb. I am. Are you? He died for my sins, the Lamb of God. But then he is called, in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 1 to, perhaps 6, we read these words. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne, John is the writer, of course, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven, no on earth, neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And John says, I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open, to read the book, and to neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root and the offspring of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. This book, incidentally, is the title deed to the universe. Now go on. And I beheld, John looked, when he says, the man says, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." John looks around for him. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb." John saw a lamb. The angel said, "Look at the Lion of the tribe of Judah." John looked around and saw a lamb. What a paradox. They are both the same person. He is not only the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's the root of David, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The lion is majestic in his power, whereas the lamb is submissive in his innocence. And that Lamb of the tribe of Judah is going to indeed conquer all his enemies and reign in the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, when peace shall reign and the very nature of the animals will be changed from carnivorous to herbivorous. The lion will eat straw like the ox. Now we can go on quickly to his astronomical titles. He's the bright and morning star, as seen in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. This is astronomical, the bright and morning star, and then we'll see him under the Sun of Righteousness. "But unto you that fear my name, shall the Sun of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." Let's take the star first. Revelation 22:16, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches." Now notice, please, the Lord Jesus is the speaker. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star." He gives this title to himself, and the words are capitalized, "the bright and morning star." How wonderful that he is that precursor, the prophecy of a coming bright and shining day. We're in the night of his rejection, but that night is going to end. We see the bright and morning star in the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bright and morning star, but he's not only that. He is indeed the Sun of Righteousness. "But unto you that fear my name shall the Sun of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up before him as calves in the stall." What a contrast. A star, a single star, does it light up the night? No, but it tells us the day is coming. But then the sun comes, and the Lord and all his beauty will shine as the Sun of Righteousness during the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how full of glory these titles are. Father, help us to realize through these titles who Christ is. We pray in his name. Amen.